Our next case is Edwards Life Sciences v. Merrill Life Sciences, 2022-1877. Mr. Henley.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. The District Court made at least two improper inferences, despite evidence that at least raised a tribal issue of fact. First, the District Court improperly inferred that Merrill's importation was reasonably related to recruiting clinical investigators, despite contrary evidence that the importation was solely for use as a commercial sales tool. Second, the District Court improperly inferred that the landmark trial was reasonably related to the development and submission of information to the FDA.
Of course, solely in the statute is solely related to information to be presented to the FDA. You're saying it's solely, a fortiori, solely for other purposes.
There was evidence to support that inference, that the importation was solely for purposes of use as a commercial sales tool, and there's evidence to support the inference that the landmark trial, even if one assumes that Merrill was recruiting for the landmark trial, was solely for the purposes of commercial supporting brand recognition, because it was a post-approval trial in Europe with only European sites and some Australian and New Zealand sites, and the MyBell device was already approved in Europe. So the fact that there were no U.S. sites and the fact that it was all European sites permits the inference that the landmark trial was not for the purpose of developing and submitting information to the FDA.
You're saying there are genuine issues of material fact.
Exactly. So this is a very straightforward summary judgment where the judge made improper inferences in favor of Merrill, the moving party, and against Edwards as the non-moving party, despite evidence that permitted inferences that the safe harbor did not apply.
So basically, to make those inferences, you're saying that the efforts made contemporaneously with the importation, efforts made by Merrill to interact with the FDA, hire a company to help with FDA submissions, and then in December actually submit a pre-submission to the FDA, that was all a sham, right? I mean, that's got to be your contention, or else how could you satisfy your inference that the only purpose of the importation was not related to FDA purposes?
So there is evidence from which a trier of fact could infer that the activities relating to the FDA were a make-weight to try to establish a safe harbor after the fact. But we don't need to get that far. And the reason...
When you say after the fact, you mean during the fact too, because some of the activity occurred before the importation.
I would say that none of the activity before the importation was directed towards having U.S. clinical trial sites that would be necessary to obtain FDA approval. Up until the TCT conference, the landmark trial, which was the trial that was allegedly being recruited for at TCT, was entirely an OUS trial with no U.S. sites, despite, and we have evidence in the record, that Merrill knew from the beginning when it planned this trial that in order to seek FDA approval for a Class 3 device like a heart valve, you needed at least 50% of your site's U.S. sites. So the landmark trial was planned after approval in Europe. It was planned with entirely European sites, and there was evidence from which one could infer that it was solely a brand recognition trial.
When was the trial in Europe? You said it was after approval in Europe, which was April of 2019, right?
That's right. And the landmark trial was planned in May of 2019, and with
people
only European sites.
People ever plan trials and then modify them? Companies modify the trials they plan? Do they come up with initial plans and then modify them?
They can. The evidence is that didn't actually happen in this case. The trial remains to this very day a entirely OUS trial. And that is in the record. That's on clinicaltrials.gov, which can
Does the pre-submission to the FDA talk about clinical trials in the U.S.?
It does, but not until after the importation already happened. And remember that at the time the importation happened, the importation was expressly linked to commercial activity for use as a sales tool.
Are you contending that a party has to have already applied for an IDE to receive the benefits of the safe harbor provision?
That is not our contention.
Okay.
I think the point here, and this is Merck, and this is this court's decision in the Amgen v. Aspire case, is one has to look at each individual activity separately. And there is no sort of bright line where you enter a zone of considering FDA approval, and then everything after that falls under the safe harbor. And that's the Amgen 1 case, the Amgen v. ITC case, which is very instructive here, and for at least three reasons. It held that number one, not all importation and all uses are exempt while FDA approval are pending. Number two, it held that the factual questions regarding the purposes of the activity were improperly decided on summary judgment.
Do you dispute that the district court's finding that Merrill did not sell or offer to sell his device at the medical conference?
There was no evidence of an actual sale or offer for sale. There was the TCT instructions, which says you can offer and encourage Merrill employees to offer the device for sale for other countries. And from that, it can be inferred that there was a commercial purpose for the importation.
But there was a concession that didn't happen. That did not happen. There was no sale outside the U.S. or offer for sale outside the U.S.
There was no sale, but importantly, the alleged infringing act here is not a sale. It's the importation. And what's
right, so we have to look at what the importation, right? We're supposed to see whether the importation was reasonably related to submission of data before the FDA.
Was the importation for uses, solely for uses, reasonably related to the development and submission of information to the...
Do you agree that the use here, because the devices were never taken out of a suitcase or whatever, that the use here, I think your brief even suggests that the use here is the importation itself.
No, we don't view it that way. We view it that there was no actual use here. That's what sort of makes this case unique is that in this case, unlike any other we could find, there was no actual use from which one could judge whether the statute applied or not applied.
So your view is that in a situation like this, where two devices are imported into the country and then not used at all, they're kept in a suitcase, that there should be more culpability there than a circumstance where somebody actually takes them out of the suitcase.
No, that wouldn't be our contention. Our contention is that if the devices weren't actually used, and so one cannot look at the use to determine whether the use falls under the safe harbor or not, one has to look at the purpose for the importation, because that's the only basis that Merrill could meet its burden to establish that the safe harbor applies.
We should be looking objectively at that. The court should look at that purpose objectively, right?
Yes, but the evidence supports the conclusion, the objective evidence, the most objective evidence, supports the conclusion that the importation was for use as a commercial sales tool.
One more question on this. Page 49, you say, given there was no actual use after importation, the only activity to be examined is the importation itself.
And so an importation or a manufacturing, like in the more recent Amgen case, Amgen v. Hospira, the manufacturer of the importation itself is generic. There is no inherent use that it would put either within or without the safe harbor. So one then looks at what was the use for which that importation or that manufacture happened. So in the Amgen v. Hospira case, there were 21 lots manufactured, and the court, the jury was instructed to look to.
I just think the facts of this case are so different. I don't want to take up your time, and I know that there's other questions to ask you. I'm familiar with that case. I just was wondering whether in this case, which is unique because there is no use, whether we should be focusing on the importation, because that is the only use that was made.
One should focus on the
transportation.
One should focus on the purpose for the importation and the reasons and the purpose, the evidence regarding the purpose for the importation supports the inference that the purpose for the importation was for use as a commercial sales tool.
And that gets to the language, to the word solely in the statute.
I think solely, but even if one, which some of the cases appear to lessen the emphasis of the word solely, the In this case, the evidence permits an inference that the importation was for use as a commercial sales tool and not for a use that fell under the safe harbor. And in particular,
certainly not solely for uses.
Certainly not solely. Based on the evidence that the importation was solely for commercial purposes, then certainly there would be an issue of fact as to whether the importation was solely for FDA-related purposes.
You can't have two solis.
You can't have two solis, right? So here, importantly, because Edwards is the non-moving party, the inferences have to be drawn in favor of Edwards so that one needs to credit the evidence that the purpose for the importation was for use as a commercial sales tool. And I can talk about that evidence as well.
Would you agree that there could have been multiple purposes for the importation here?
There could have been, but that is an issue of fact that the trier of fact should be permitted to decide. The trier of fact should be permitted to decide whether the importation was solely for use as a commercial sales tool or for multiple purposes or solely for some other purpose. And here, the evidence supports an inference that the importation was solely for use as a commercial sales tool. And in fact, the flip side, the evidence regarding the recruiting of clinical investigators makes no mention of these sample devices. So you have not only evidence that the
Would
reasons...
Would you agree that if the collateral purpose was promotional or however you're describing it, that would not abrogate the safe harbor exemption? Would you agree with that statement?
If there were undisputed evidence that one of the purposes was for use in recruiting clinical investigators for a trial that was to develop and generate and submit information to the FDA, I would agree with you. But here, the evidence permits an inference that the only purpose was for use as a commercial sales tool. So, and again, that's a jury issue. So whether we're talking about sole purpose commercial, sole purpose, FDA-related, or some sort of combination purpose, that is an issue for the jury to decide, and that will dictate whether the safe harbor applies.
You're into your rebuttal. Would you want to continue or say?
No, I will.
I just want to ask, what remedy are you seeking?
If you reverse and remand,
we'll be entitled
to seek damages, perhaps potentially injunctive relief, and potentially declaratory relief.
Mr. Hadd.
Good morning. May it please the court. The undisputed facts in this case establish that the safe harbor applies. It is undisputed that at the time of the 2019 Transcatheter Cardiovascular Therapeutics Conference, Merrill was engaged with the FDA planning its clinical trials.
But counsel, the court seems to have lost the word solely, which is in the statute. That's not an ambiguous term. I read from the court's opinion. The court finds that the undisputed evidence gives rise to no genuine dispute of fact that these samples were exempt. Well, that's a legal conclusion. It's undisputed that Merrill transported the device to a conference. All right. Undisputed that Merrill did not sell or offer. Therefore, Merrill's transportation of the samples where Merrill did not sell was reasonably related. But that doesn't deal with the word solely. It totally writes that word out of the statute. Why shouldn't it go back for fact-finding under a proper interpretation of the statute?
Well, Your Honor, because every case that this court has faced these facts, where there is ongoing FDA-related activity, and advice is brought to a medical conference to be demonstrated, the court has said, at that point, that's over. That is solely reasonably related to gathering information for the FDA. If there's some other additional purpose, as the court found in Momenta or Abtox, that doesn't matter. Bringing a device and demonstrating it to potential clinical researchers at this stage where you're preparing to provide information to the FDA is, as a matter of law, reasonably solely related to gathering information for the FDA. That's Teletronics.
Where is the word solely in the statute?
Solely reasonably related, I think.
I don't think that's what it is.
That's not right.
It says solely for uses.
For uses, yes, Your Honor. Right. So it was brought solely for the use of demonstrating at a medical conference, just like in Teletronics, Intermedics, and Chartex. And in each of those cases, this court said, affirming a summary judgment, that established that the safe harbor applied, whether there were other collateral purposes or not. And that is exactly these facts.
Can I ask you a hypothetical?
I'm sorry, one more time?
I'd like to ask you a hypothetical.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. If there was a device and it was imported, and then it was used in a clinical study, and following the clinical study, it was sold. I realize my hypothetical is probably not typical. Is the use in the clinical study an act of infringement under the statute?
No. The subsequent sale could be, but those are two different uses. Here we only have a single
use. Is not solely...
Right. Here we have a single use. It's importing it for demonstration at this medical conference. And there's
there's two uses.
No.
And it's solely the one that is not reasonably related to FDA submissions that would be infringing.
Correct. Right. And that's the case that they cite, right? If you make multiple batches, some of which are for FDA uses and some aren't, then you look at each batch. But here we have a single act. We're importing it. There's no dispute that it was imported to display, to use, to demonstrate to clinical investigators at this conference, just like in Teletronics and Intermedics.
Your adversary says that's not so, that there is a reasonable inference that the interactions with the FDA were simply for the purpose of trying to provide cover for a commercial purpose.
Well, but let's look at the actual undisputed facts, right? So Merrill was engaged with the FDA before the conference. They found out that they would have to provide clinical studies both in the U.S. and outside the U.S. They had engaged this consultant, CardioMed, who told them that they would have to split the studies within the U.S. and without the U.S. They then, shortly after the conference, submitted a pre-submission that included the landmark study protocol that they had developed back in July. So this notion that the landmark study is a commercial study and not for the FDA is demonstrably false. It was included with the pre-submission to the FDA. In the original pre-submission in December...
Wasn't that for use for European clearance?
No, Your Honor, there's some confusion, right? Merrill did not have an IDE at the time of the TCT. They could not do studies in the U.S. They could do studies outside the U.S., and those are relevant to the FDA. All that information would go to the FDA, whether the sites were in the U.S. or in Europe. And in fact, Merrill was traveling around Europe recruiting investigators for this study. And so what they proposed to the FDA in December, of right after the conference, was that 2/3 of the investigating sites would be outside of the U.S. and 1/3 would be in. In February, the FDA responded and said, no, you need to have 50% of the patients in the U.S. You can have 50% abroad. And so in May, Merrill submitted a revised proposal pre-submission to the FDA in which they proposed doing half of the landmark study sites in the U.S., and half outside, consistent with the FDA's advice.
How do you view the word solely in the statute?
So solely relates to
the use. Which the court seemed not to consider.
I think the court did consider it, just like this court did in Telemedics and Intermedics and Chartix, which is when you have a use, and
is that good law? Have we gotten off the track?
I'm sorry. The use is demonstrating to potential clinical researchers at a medical conference. that is objectively solely related to providing information to the FDA. That's what this court has held repeatedly. And this case is absolutely no different. There was no sale. There was no offer to sale. There were no instructions to sell. That is not true. The only thing that happened was selling
and offer to sell have no relation to gathering information for presentation to the FDA.
Understood, and none of those things happened. The only thing that happened was this was brought to the conference to be used with a simulator by potential clinical researchers to understand how to implant the device. The simulator didn't work, so they were left in a bag in a closet. There was no use of these for any promotion, sales, or anything else.
What is your response to the fact that he says this is basically premature? It needs to have a trial. There are all these factual disputes that need to be addressed. What's your response to that?
There's no need for a trial. This is exactly Teletronics, Intermedics, and Chartip. The only act was importation. It's clear that the importation was solely to demonstrate this to clinical researchers. That's what they said in the announcement before the TCT, right? It was about hands-on sessions demonstrating the device. The customs declaration said these are non-commercial, non-sterile, solely for use for demonstration at TCT. That is what the importation was for. Now, the fact that the simulator malfunctioned, there was no hands-on demonstration with clinical researchers, they're left in a bag. There's no facts to try. What they're trying to say is, well, there could be some ulterior motive, some bad purpose. But the law is clear from this court that purpose doesn't matter. This is not a subjective inquiry. Objective facts are
imported. Objectively at what the purpose is, from looking at the facts, you could look objectively at what the purpose seems to be.
Right. And this court has repeatedly said that objectively, when you bring a device to a medical conference with clinical researchers where you have yet to get FDA approval, the objective determination from that is to gather information for the FDA.
And that's the purpose. That we have a per se rule like that. I don't think we have a per se rule like that.
Well,
I think that you've got a better argument under the facts of your case, but I don't think our case law supports a per se rule.
Well, I don't know if it's a per se rule or not, but the facts in Teletronics, Intermedics, and Chartex are indistinguishable from this case. Right? There's a demonstration or proposed demonstration to clinical researchers at this stage where FDA data would be needed. There's no dispute here that Merrill was actively recruiting clinical researchers. Leading up to this, during the meeting, they had meetings with clinical researchers. They had a dinner with their planned clinical researchers. This whole purpose of going to this conference was to recruit clinical researchers.
What is your response to really all the focus is really on outside of the U.S. as opposed to really being focused on reasonably related to a submission to
FDA? It doesn't matter whether they're outside the U.S. or not, right? The FDA acknowledged that half of these clinical sites could be outside the U.S. They had to be looking outside the U.S. at this point because they did not have an IDE. They could not announce clinical sites within the U.S. So that's just a red herring. The fact that it's outside the U.S. has nothing to do with whether or not it is relevant to the FDA. Any studies outside the U.S. would have to be provided to the FDA and would be part of the clinical trial data that the FDA would analyze. So there's just no dispute that needs to be determined. The facts are clear. There was a single use. It was an importation for a demonstration to clinical researchers at a medical conference while Merrill was recruiting researchers for an FDA study that they had submitted to the FDA. And they included it in their later pre-submissions.
Well, again, the court made a statement of the law that omitted a key word in the statute. And you're saying that other decisions from this court have done the same thing. So maybe our law has gone off the track, and maybe we need to go in bank to straighten it out.
I'm saying, Your Honor, that the sole use in this case has been found repeatedly to be objectively solely related to gathering information for the FDA, demonstrating to clinical researchers at a medical conference.
A question that was asked earlier by Judge Cunningham was, it was not asked to you, but to your adversaries, would you agree that there could be multiple purposes for an importation?
Could there be multiple?
And if one of them was reasonably related to an FDA submission, would that be sufficient under the statute?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that's why the court said in Momento we don't look at purposes, right? Businesses always have multiple purposes. Ultimately, they have to sell things to survive. But the issue is, what is the use relevant for gaining information for the FDA? And if it is, then we don't need to look at what the purpose is. And we don't look at what the purpose is, if it's just some subjective intent. But the court said, you know, repeatedly, demonstrating a device at a medical conference to potential researchers suffices. Once you do that, if you're in the right stage with the FDA, and this notion that this is post-approval is nonsense, right? This is pre-approval. The FDA had not approved it. These investigations were for subsequent approval. Yes, Your Honor.
So I don't want you to reveal any confidential information in answering this question, but just following up on a question that Judge Stoll asked, give us a sense of what the remedy would be in this case.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
So I don't know if you were, I do think you were listening. I'm going to assume you were listening when she asked this question to your opposing counsel about the remedy that they were seeking.
Right, I have no idea what the remedy is, right? I mean, these were brought into the country, left in a closet for 2 days, and taken out.
In other words,
why we're litigating this is kind of beyond me.
This is de minimis. This is two items not used. It's de minimis.
That's my view, Your Honor. Absolutely. I mean, left in a dark closet. They never saw the light of day. If you have no further questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Haddon.
Thank you.
Mr. Hanley has some rebuttal time, 2.5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honors. Starting with that last point, there is no de minimis exception to infringement, or if there is, it doesn't apply in the facts here, and that's the Enbrix case. Point number two, under the statute, it is Merrill's burden to show that the importation was solely for uses reasonably related to the development and submission of information to the FDA. So we would agree
that
if there are any non-protected uses, you don't fall under the statute. And we agree that some of this court's cases suggested otherwise, but under the words of the statute, solely means solely. And if there is an unprotected use, an unexempt use, then you wouldn't fall under the statute.
Is purpose relevant to solely?
Solely for uses. The word for uses looks at the purpose. What was the importation or the manufacture for? That is inherently asking about the purpose for the otherwise infringing act. So as this court found in the Amgen v. Ospira case, purpose is relevant.
And so can I ask you, for your statutory interpretation, it seems to me that you're putting solely, you're moving solely. And so it says it should not be an act of infringement to import solely for uses, but you seem to be saying that it's not an act of infringement for uses solely reasonably related to the development and submission of information. What should I gather and understand? I'm just really asking, what about the placement of solely? It's not after uses. Uses solely reasonably related to development. It doesn't say that.
Yeah.
It says solely for uses reasonably related. And I don't know if you heard the hypothetical that I gave your adversary earlier where there was one use that clearly fell, was reasonably related, and one use that wasn't for the same importation. Why isn't my understanding of this statute, which is solely is not modifying reasonably related, reasonable?
I believe the word solely modifies for uses. So we look at what were the uses for which the importation happened in this case. What were those for? Why did they import? That's what solely would modify. Why did they import? And here, the evidence is that they imported solely to use as a commercial sales tool.
Can you answer, though, her hypothetical?
My hypothetical, going back to it, is there's an importation of a device. It's used twice. First, it's used in a clinical trial for FDA information. Second, after that, it's sold. So in that hypothetical, are both of those acts of infringement? Are those uses? It should not be an act of infringement solely for uses.
The second would be an act of infringement.
Would the first one be an act of infringement?
If it were a trial for the purposes of developing and submitting information to the FDA, it would be protected. Here, the evidence permits an inference.
I understand that. We're just trying to get your interpretation of the statute.
And importantly, again, this court's precedent, Amgen v. ITC, the 2009 case, recognize that not all studies are related to FDA approval. There are studies for purposes of brand recognition, and that was found to be an issue of fact in that case. That's what this study was. At least the evidence supports the inference that the landmark study was an entirely commercially based study to try to sell the device in Europe where it was already approved, and not for purposes of developing and submitting information to the FDA. And that's where the evidence, we haven't talked about the evidence that supports that this was a commercial importation. None of the evidence regarding clinical investigators, not one piece of evidence, contemporaneous evidence regarding the clinical investigator meeting, for example, mentioned sample devices, not one. In contrast, all of the evidence that mentions the hands-on sessions, the sample devices, all of it talks about selling. All of it is geared towards selling, and that's
appendix. Counsel, your time has expired a while ago.
Yes, thank you for the extra time, and happy to answer any additional questions.
The case is submitted.
Thank you.